You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
A happy Friday and welcome to Descendant In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a stack show for you guys today. Round two of the Masters is underway at Augusta National Golf Course. We'll dive into that. We'll look at some more three-ball groupings that we like for today. We're also going to talk some NBA. We got 2-3 regular season games left for a bunch of these teams. We're going to talk about what teams are going to miss the playoffs and what teams are going to make the playoffs. We also got all 30 teams in Major League Baseball underway. We'll get into that during Big League Peach. Kate Constable will join me later on in the show, and then we'll wrap it up with our favorite bets for today. As always, any questions, comments that you guys have, you can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/OdysseySports. You can also go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app and let us know whatever you are betting. Let's get this thing going. Glass is in session, and we're going to start things off today with the Glasser guest line and Mark Drumheller joining us. You can follow Mark on X at @X_Drumheller. He's a betting analyst and on-air host at Fantasy Life. He also does stuff for us right here on the BetQL Network. He's going to be on You Better You Bet coming up later today with Kate Constable. All right, Mark, let's do it. What fight are you the most excited for? I mean, there are so many good ones, but you personally, which one are you most excited for?
He had a tremendous quote. He said, you know, every time he fights, it's a traumatic life experience. And that's really how he approaches, you know, stepping into the octagon and going to war, coming off a huge head kick knockout to Dustin Poirier. He faces Max Holloway, who's been taking a ton of money this weekend, opened up as a much bigger favorite. We're seeing that line come down. People like Holloway with his volume. You know, he's one of the most successful volume strikers in the league. He pours it on. He has that Hawaiian spirit, that granite chin, so he's tough to put away. So I think the betting market thinks over a course of five rounds, they like Holloway to get the nod here. Me personally, I bet it to go over 4.5 rounds. I like the decision. I think this is probably going to go to decision. I think these two guys are just going to be in it and going to war for five rounds in this one. And in these pay-per-view events, when you get to the top of the main card, you get the top echelon of fighters, you see a lot of decisions. I mean, this year in pay-per-views, there's only been 3 pay-per-views so far, but main card fights, the top 5 fights, the main card, what you see on the pay-per-view, those fights have been 13-2 to the over this year. So, and 10 of the favorites that have won, 10 favorites have won. Favorites are 10-5 on main card pay-per-views. 8 of them have gone to decision. So I think this one goes to decision. I think it's too close to call. So I'm just going to root for it. We get, five rounds of violence on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we certainly could. So that's the bet you're most excited for, Mark. What about the bet that you like the best? What's your favorite bet in the entire card for tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's another fighter moving up to a new weight class. Aljamain Sterling, former bantamweight champion, moves up to featherweight to face Calvin Kattar. I love Sterling by decision. Not a main card fight, but this is one that I think goes to the scorecards. Kattar blew out his knee last time we saw him in the octagon. He's a stand-up fighter. The fight really comes down to whether Sterling can put him on his back and take him down. Kattar has 91% takedown defense, but he's coming off a blown-out ACL against Arnold Allen, a big, long layoff. And also, if you look at Kattar's fights, he's more accustomed to fighting 5 rounds. He's only landed 27% of his strikes over his previous 2 fights in the first 2 rounds. So he's notoriously a slow starter. I think Aljamain Sterling, in his featherweight debut, is going to be able to steal some rounds early by getting those takedowns and going to get the nod by the judge's decision.
Very nice. Mark, you mentioned how successful favorites have been in the main card. I know favorites tend to do very well on UFC fight nights, but is there an underdog out there that you really like that maybe you've already bet?
Yeah, let's go to the main event. I like Sweet Dreams, Jamal Hill. He's a small underdog here. It's a very closely lined fight, But I do think that he is the side. I think we're getting good value with him because he is coming off an Achilles injury, which we know is difficult to come back from. But the, you know, both these guys, very strong power. We're going to see Prieta really go after the legs of Jamal Hill and try to tackle him and then work the body, and you know, and then before he delivers, you know, one of those massive left hooks that we've seen on all the highlight reels. But Jamal Hill's a guy who has power in itself. I think he's going to be very aggressive. He's going to go after Prieta. And one of the things that I noticed about Prieta I think could be an issue in this fight, he keeps his hands very low. Defensively, he's very vulnerable, and he's been able to get away with that so far in his young career, but I don't think he can against Sweet Dreams Jamal Hill. I think Hill's going to be very aggressive, and I think he's going to find a home for that left hand.
All right, very good. So, Mark, you've given out your favorite bet. You've given out an underdog that you like. What about the bet that you're the most torn on? All these great fights, so many evenly matchup fights that could go either way. Is there one right now that you just have no opinion on that you think could go either side?
Yeah, well, this is a good lesson for bettors that are watching. Might be new to, you know, gambling on MMA in general. This is one that I went back and forth on so much, I just threw my hands up and said, you know what? I already got 7 bets in the account on the event. I don't need to make it 8. But that's Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rocic. And Rocic's the guy, another guy coming off a long layoff. He's going to have the grappling advantage here against Procházka. Procházka's very unorthodox striker, which, again, leaves himself open to takedowns, leaves himself open to some big shots you can land on him, gets caught with his hands down sometimes. But he's wild, extremely entertaining. I went back and forth. At first, I liked Procházka. Then I went back and I said, you know what, Rocic could put him on his back and kind of grind out a win here. And then I started swinging back to Procházka. It's a very closely lined fight, but ultimately I just figured, hey, you know what? If you don't feel confident on a side, you don't have to bet every fight. You want to, because the card's so stacked. You see all these, you know, great fighters on the card. But I just decided it was important to lay off on that one. So it's going to be 7 bets for tonight. Didn't need to make it 8.
Love it. The lucky 7. We'll see. Great stuff there from Mark Drumheller. Again, if you just tuned in, you missed any of the interview, catch it on the Send It In podcast. A lot of great stuff there for UFC 300 coming up tomorrow. You can catch Mark also on You Better You Bet with Kate Constable coming up 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the BetQL Network. Mark, always great having you on, man. Great stuff. Enjoy the fights tomorrow. We'll have you on again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, PJ.
All right, great stuff from Mark. Let's talk some baseball now as we get into today's MLB slate. A little big league Peach. We will start with a big-time pitching matchup today in Detroit between the Twins and the Tigers. The over-under is 7 with Pablo Lopez going up against Tarik Skubal. And even though it's a low total for a reason. You're getting two of the best pitchers in the American League. Gladly we'll take the under 7 in this matchup. Then we have the Pirates and the Phillies. In Philadelphia, Pirates off to a great start this season, 9-4, going up against the Phillies, who are right there around 500. The last 5 Philadelphia Phillies games have had a total of 8 runs or fewer. The total today is sitting at 9.5. Think it's too many runs, like another under today in Phillies and Pirates. Then we have the Giants making a cross-country road trip to face the Tampa Bay Rays today, 6:50 p.m. Eastern Time. First pitch, Keaton Wynn going for the Giants. The Rays have yet to name a starter. This looks like one of those games where the Rays maybe could use an opener like they love to do so many times and use all those arms that they have in their bullpen. But this is the first game of a long road trip for the Giants. This is when I usually like to back teams. It's that first game, right? You want to start off that road trip in the win column. I'll take the Giants -105. Then we have the Brewers and the Orioles at Camden Yards today, 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time, first pitch. Over under 8.5 in this game with Freddy Peralta going up against Tyler Wells. The Orioles this season have really struggled against starting pitching. So I'm looking at that first 5 under 4.5 runs. The O's do all their damage in like the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, but those first 5-6 innings, their offense struggles a little bit, and they're going up against one of the better starters in the National League, and Freddy Peralta. I'll take that first 5 under. Then we have the Rockies and the Blue Jays today. 7:07 p.m. Eastern Time, first pitch, a total of 8 in this game. Kevin Gausman going up against Ryan Feltner. Gausman was one of the AL Cy Young favorites to start the year. It was Garrett Cole, it was Gausman, it was Corbin Burns. Those were kind of the top 3. Gausman this season in 2 starts has been terrible. Only 5-2 five and two-thirds innings pitched. He is a 9.53 ERA, and he's 0-1 this season. They're still pricing this game at Blue Jays minus 250 like it's an ace Kevin Gausman, and I do expect him to turn it around. But you know what? While he's still struggling, let's jump on some Rockies money line. I'll take him plus 200 against the Blue Jays. Pick them out in Fenway today between the Angels and the Red Sox. These teams literally just played a week ago out in Anaheim. The Red Sox won two of those three games. The Red Sox just got swept by the Orioles, and now they have their best starting pitcher on the mound in Tanner Houck, who's been great for them this season. Two starts, 12 innings pitched, has not given up a single run. I'll take the Sox today, minus 110 on the money line against the Angels. And UConn SIG has given out Mike Trout over 1.5 total bases at plus 100 at Fenway. One wall ball double in left field away. No doubt about it. How good has Trout been, right? He's healthy. He's hitting home runs. He looks like Mike Trout. Really like that play. Even against Houck, who I mentioned has been really good so far for the Red Sox. Then we got the Braves and the Marlins. Max Fried going up against Trevor Rogers. The Marlins have been absolutely terrible this year. I know the Braves didn't have a great series against the Mets. I think they flipped the page today with their best starting pitcher who's available, obviously Strider out for the year. I'll take the Braves on the run line today, -1.5 against the Marlins. Then we have the Royals taking on the Mets today. Mets minus 135 against the red-hot Kansas City Royals, who have won 7 games in a row. I'm going to keep riding that Royals train. Take them plus 115 today with Michael Wacha on the mound. Then we got a good series out in Cleveland. The Yankees, who are 10-3 to start the season, going up against the Guardians, who are 9-3 to start this season. Clark Schmidt going up against Carlos Carrasco, getting the Yankees at minus 145. I think that's a good price today. I'll take the Yanks to win this game against the Guardians. Then we have the Reds at the White Sox. Reds are minus 175. White Sox are plus 145. Andrew Abbott going up against Chris Flexen. It's our guy, Shawnee Sharp's birthday today, our producer here on Send It In. The man loves the White Sox. There's no way we're betting the Reds today. Give me the Sox on the money line, plus 145. Then we got the Battle of Texas, the Rangers and the Astros. These teams also just played each other last week. Dane Dunning going up against J.P. France. How about the Astros are 4-10 to start this season? Who saw that coming? Absolutely nobody. Swept by the Yankees, swept by the Royals. They need to start winning some games. I think it starts tonight. Give me the Astros minus 130 on the money line. Then we'll take the Cubs in Seattle tonight, taking on the Mariners. Jordan Wicks going up against Bryce Miller. The total is only 8. Man, the Cubs' offense has been red hot to start this season. They've been playing in a ton of high-scoring ball games. I know Seattle's one of the best pitcher-friendly parks in baseball, but I'll take that over 8 with Bryce Miller and Jordan Wicks today in Cubs and Mariners. Then we got the Cardinals out in the desert to take on the D-backs. Brandon Fad going up against Steven Matz. D-backs minus 125, Cardinals plus 105. Going to pass on that game today. Probably would lean D-backs, but I'm staying away. Nationals against the Athletics. The Nats plus 110 out in Oakland, taking on the A's, who are minus 130. Jake Irvin going up against Paul Blackburn. Oakland's favorite in this game. I know the Nationals aren't very good either, but like Oakland is a minus 130 favorite. I think that's telling you a lot. I'll take the A's today to win that game. And then we got the Padres and the Dodgers going on in LA tonight. Michael King against Yamamoto for the Dodgers. I'll take the Dodgers on a run line -1.5 against the Padres. All right, moving on now, and it's time to talk some golf as we go golfing with Glasser on this Masters Friday. Second round is underway. They wrapped up the first round today, so now they are beginning the second round. And we got 5 marquee groups getting ready to tee off just about right now. Patrick Cantlay, Minwoo Lee, and Ricky Fowler getting ready to start their second round. Cantlay is a plus 115. He went 1 under yesterday. Minwoo Lee's plus 200. He shot a 1 over yesterday. And Ricky Fowler shot a 4 over yesterday at plus 240. So, of course, when you're handicapping round 2-3 balls, it's important to look at the positioning that some of these guys are in, right? A guy who's right now, the lead is at 7 under par. Max Homa is leading the way as Bryson DeChambeau just bogeyed. So if you're like 4, 5, 6 shots off the lead in day 2 of the Masters, you still feel like you're in contention. Whereas if you're 3 over, 4 over, 5 over par, you're probably going to have to play a little more catch up and be a little more aggressive. So Ricky Fowler, who's at 4 over, probably going to be a little more aggressive than Patrick Cantlay today, who's 1 under. But I'm looking at Minwoo Lee at plus 200. Minwoo Lee was 4 over on the front nine and then went to the back nine and played beautiful golf. He made a bogey at the end, but he went 3 under on the back nine, finished his first round at +1. He's got the kind of game that should suit well at Augusta with how far and straight that he hits it, and he's got a good short game. I'll take Minwoo Lee today in that three ball at +200. Then we got Hideki Matsuyama, +135. Justin Thomas at +200, along with Will Zalatoris also at +200. Hideki was probably the biggest surprise of round one, shot 4 over. This was a guy who was amongst the top 5 shortest betting favorites heading into Augusta, was in great form. He's obviously a past champion here, has great course history, really struggled in round one. Is Hideki going to bounce back? I think because of the position that he's in, just trying to make the cut, I like Hideki today at +135. Then we got John Rahm, -105, Matt Fitzpatrick, +155, and Nick Dunlap at +450. What I like about this three ball is that it essentially just comes down to two golfers, right? Like, Nick Dunlap isn't going to outscore Fitzpatrick or John Rahm. It's going to come down to those two guys. Fitzpatrick shot a 1 under yesterday. Rahm shot a 1 over. John was playing great golf his first 9 holes. He shot a 2 under, and then he had 2 bad iron shots on 9, where he was able to save par, and then on 10, where he made a bogey, and his round really unraveled on him. I think he makes some adjustments today, plays much better. I'll take John Rahm, -105. Then we got Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Xander Schauffele teeing up at 1:48 p.m. Eastern time. Scottie's +115, Rory's +200, and Xander is +240. Xander's at even par. He's got to make up some ground. Rory's at 1 under par. He's also got to get it going. And then Scottie Scheffler is 6 under, and he is 1 shot back of Max Homa right now. Look, all of these guys are capable of going low. All three of these guys are 3 of the top players in the world. At the end of the day, though, I know what I'm going to get out of Scottie Scheffler, and that's a round of at least probably 2 under. Whereas with Rory and Xander, I don't know what I'm going to get. If you're giving me plus money with Scheffler, I'm going to take it. That's my play at +115. And then finally, final group to go off today, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, and Cam Smith. Wyndham Clark +160, Victor Hovland +260, and Cameron Smith +210. This is a tough one. You can make a case for all three of these guys. Wyndham Clark was 3 under at one point yesterday, and then he got in some trouble on the back nine, finished his round at 1 over par. Cam Smith was 2 under at one point, put his ball in the water on that par 3 12th hole, and he finished at even par. And then Victor Hovland got it up to 4 under at one point before he finished his round at 1 under. So all these guys had their high moments, they had their low moments throughout the round. I'm going to take Wyndham Clark, though, because he's so good on the par 5s. It looks like the par 5s are a little bit easier today than they were yesterday. The pin locations are a little bit more favorable, so I'll take Wyndham Clark at +160. All right, let's keep it going. Let's go off the glass here on Send It In. We got the NBA regular season wrapping up, and it's time to look at which of these teams we think will make the playoffs and which of these teams we think will miss the playoffs. I think it's safe to say we probably know the 8 teams in the Eastern Conference that are going to make the playoffs. It's the 6 teams right now that currently don't have to play in the play-in game. And then you got the Heat in the 7th seed, and you got the Sixers in the 8th spot. And the big fella is back for Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. Miami obviously made it to the NBA Finals last year, and they're going up against the Bulls, and they're going up against the Hawks. And really, the Bulls and the Hawks are in the play-in game because of how bad the Eastern Conference is, and because the Wizards, the Pistons, the Hornets, teams like that, just aren't making it. So no chance for the Bulls to make the playoffs. No chance for the Hawks to make the playoffs. Generally, I wouldn't lay a -650 or -800 on any kind of bet, but That is intriguing to lay that kind of juice, because I really don't see how those teams make it unless you just think Embiid is going to get hurt again and that opens up a spot for one of those teams. The Western Conference, however, is where it really gets interesting, because you have the Phoenix Suns, who are sitting in that 7th spot. They are 2 games clear of the Warriors, the Kings, and the Lakers, who all have the same record. The Warriors to make the playoffs is +120. The Lakers to make the playoffs is +220. And the Kings to make the playoffs is +100. Of those three teams, the Kings are probably the team that I like the least because, again, the playoff experience of the Warriors and the Lakers. We literally saw the Kings play the Warriors last year in a seventh game in Sacramento, and we saw how that went. The Warriors, just too much playoff experience, that championship DNA. They won a game like that. The Lakers with LeBron, with Anthony Davis, I trust the Lakers in one game over the Sacramento Kings. So even though I think maybe the Kings are like a better team, being in that play-in game setting where it's one game, winner take all, it's essentially a game seven, I'm going to lean on the experience of the Lakers and the Warriors. So I think either of those teams, Lakers plus 220, Warriors plus 120, I think those are good bets. And the Kings to miss the playoffs at minus 120, I also think that's a good bet. And don't sleep on the Phoenix Suns missing the playoffs either, especially at that price at plus 800. To me, the Phoenix Suns right now are like the Toronto Blue Jays of the MLB from last year. This team has all the talent, but they just have no chemistry. It really doesn't look like they enjoy playing well with each other. It just hasn't meshed like they were hoping it would, obviously, when they traded for Durant, when they brought in Bradley Beal. So many great scores, so many elite offensive weapons that Phoenix can go to, but they just aren't playing well like they should, and they aren't playing as good as some of these other teams in the West. So I think also it's worth a bet on the Suns to miss the playoffs at plus 800. And then finally, we do have one playoff series that we already know of, the Clippers and the Mavericks. Clippers are minus 125 in that series. The Mavericks are plus 105. I like the Clippers. Why? Because it's the first round, and I trust them in the first round much more so than I would in the second round or the Western Conference Final. Obviously, the later that we go, the more chance for injuries, and when it comes to the Clippers, that's always the biggest question mark surrounding that team. They're definitely better than Dallas, especially when they're fully healthy. First round is when they're going to be their healthiest, so I'll take the Clippers in that series over the Mavericks. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Kate Constable here on a Friday, joining us on Send It In. And Kate, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, five-star plays. A couple in the NBA, but one that stood out. Lakers minus 15.5 against the Grizzlies tonight. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Grizzlies injury report, but it is lengthy, and this is basically going to be a G League team that Memphis is sending out there. I'm not sure I'm going to play any double-digit favorites tonight in the NBA because these games can get really funky with, you know, some teams playing for a lot, others not so much. But if you get in on the action, the model does like the Lakers at minus 15.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we've seen that the last couple of days. So many of these games have spreads like that, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to bet that with those kind of teams. How about for today, Kate, though? Anything that you do like? Any best bets that you're on for tonight?
Yeah, so this is another game that is going to be pretty lopsided based on who's playing and who's not. It's the Bucks and Thunder. Thunder, 15.5-point favorite, same as the Lakers. But instead of laying the points, I'm going to take the Thunder's first half team total over 61.5. I think they're basically just going to be able to get whatever they want, run up and down the court, push the pace. They are second in the league in points off of turnovers over their last five games, and knowing that the Bucks are sitting basically their entire starting five and rotation players, they're going to have plenty. The Thunder are going to have plenty opportunities for steals, get out in transition, kind of push the pace and score early in this one. I wonder if maybe this game, you know, slows down late in the fourth if the Thunder are up big. So I'm just going to take a first half team total on OKC at 61.5.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's good analysis there. Kate, we were just talking about this Western Conference kind of play-in tournament picture and who the teams might be that could make the playoffs or potentially miss the playoffs. I'm interested to get your thoughts. It looks like it's going to be the Suns, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Warriors as the four teams. So if you had to pick two that you think are going to make it to the quarterfinal round, be the 7 and 8 seeds, who would be the two teams that you like?
I would pick the Warriors and the Lakers, which as of right now, they're the 9 and 10 seed, right? There's a chance that the Warriors can move up into the 8 spot and only, you know, have double elimination, which would be beneficial for them. That way it's not just a one and done type scenario. So if that happens, obviously if the Lakers and Warriors are playing each other, one of them is not going to make it, but that's assuming the Warriors are able to move up in the standings. I just don't trust the Kings in their current form. They've been terrible lately, terrible on the road lately. No Malik Monk has hurt them. No Kevin Huerter. He's out for the rest of the season. That has hurt them. And then the Suns, are they a team that you can really trust? They just seem so inconsistent night in and night out that I'm not sure I would bank on them making the playoffs or even staying healthy for the playoffs. Like, that's always a concern with Phoenix as well. I heard you talk about the experience from both Lakers, Warriors, that's going to come into play in one of these one game sample size. That's kind of similar to what we saw with the Lakers in the in-season tournament, right? Like when it wasn't a series that they had to play with the team, LeBron was jacked up. He was ready to go. The rest of the team kind of rallied around him. The Lakers looked really good. So if you're just giving them one game that they have to win, I would take the Warriors and Lakers. That's assuming, again, that they're not matched up with each other in that 9-10 game.
Yeah, really good point there, K2, about that in-season tournament. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference before I let you go. Good stuff there on the West. How about the East? It looks like this might just be the Boston Celtics Invitational, and we're trying to make arguments for all these different teams, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Is there any team, Kate, that you think can compete with Boston, or is this the Celtics coasting all the way to the finals?
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Celtics don't coast all the way to the finals, something big has got to change within that organization. I don't know if it's going to be coaching or mixing up the roster, because this is probably about as easy of a path as the Celtics will have to the finals that, you know, any team is ever going to have. Now, the Sixers are a little bit of a concern with Joel Embiid being back. He's put up a couple 30-point games since he's been back. Look, kind of looks like he hasn't missed a beat. I also think the Knicks could be someone that, if the Knicks are in the 3 seed, I think they cruise through that side of the bracket and will meet the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they're a team, could be a little concerning. Without Julius Randle, can they really get over the hump? I don't think so. So this is Celtics or nothing for me. But the two teams that, you know, keep an eye on would be the Sixers and the Knicks. I mean, Jalen Brunson has been playing out of his mind lately. So if he can continue that, he can maybe carry New York through a few series in the East.
Man, can't wait. NBA playoffs almost here. She's Kate Constable. Make sure you catch her on You Better You Bet coming up 3 p.m. Eastern time with Mark Drumheller. Kate, great having you on. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. Alrighty, time to wrap up the show with PJ's plays. Moist Cupcakes 11 in the chat says that he has a Will Zalatoris ticket out to win it all. Me and you both with Willie Z, Moist Cupcakes. Hope he at least is 2 shots off the lead at the end of the day. I agree with you, especially with Scheffler towards the top of the leaderboard. Like, that's the last guy you want to see at the top, right? So, you know you really can't be too far behind him heading into the weekend. I agree. Willie Z's got to probably be about 2 shots back for us to feel like we have a chance on our win ticket heading in to the weekend. As for going streaking, who do we like today in Major League Baseball to get us a hit? That would be Corey Seager. He's batting .317 this season. He's facing J.P. France of the Astros, who he is 3-for-5 against in his career. We've gotten 3 in a row. Let's make it 4 in a row today. Corey Seager, he's our pick in going streaking. Our prop lock today is going to be Zion Williamson under 26.5 points today against the Warriors. Zion's playing the second night of a back-to-back, which is rare for him, right? Because obviously he's a guy you always worry about health and him being available. The last time Zion played the second night of a back-to-back, he had 4 points. We'll take his under 26.5 tonight against the Warriors. Dog of the day, we mentioned it during Big League Peach. It is Shawnee Sharpe's birthday. The White Sox are winning a baseball game today, +145 against the Reds. Shawnee Sharpe, are you tailing me on your Sox? Is that your best bet? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, Peach. Of course I'm telling you on those White Sox. They might break our heart, but I'm taking that. Also, I'm taking my White Sox team total over 3.5, as we say. I dare them to not score a run today on my birthday. I dare them not to. But, yeah, 3.5, I think it's too low. They've been doing – the action's starting to hit the ball pretty well here lately.
Very good. Shawnee Sharpe, happy birthday to you. Let's hope the White Sox can score some runs and get us a win. And then my best bet, give me Scottie Scheffler, second round leader at +140. Go to BetMGM. You can bet Scottie to be leading after round 2. +140, folks, I think that's a pretty good price. That's my best bet of the day. To recap today, our favorite plays on a Friday. Corey Seager is our pick in going streaking. Zion Williamson under 26.5 points is our prop lock. White Sox on the money line today for Shawnee Sharpe, who also likes the team total over 3.5 runs for the White Sox. And Scottie Scheffler to be leading the Masters after round 2 is going to be my favorite bet. If you missed any of the show, you can check it out on the Send It In podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the Masters. We'll see you guys on Monday. Good luck on all your bets.